And when we started studying the subject, how we got our Bible, as I started to think about, okay, how are we going to present this, I actually listed out 7 terms that I thought if we study these terms, we're going to understand how we got our Bible. And the first was Bible itself, but noting the fact that the Bible doesn't ever use the word Bible, it's book. And that's what the word Bible means. But we saw, we spent a lot of time looking at that word because we looked at all the different descriptions the Bible gives what it calls itself, the Word of God and so forth. And then we spent a lot of time just going Genesis to Revelation, how there was this book that Moses started to write that John concludes in the book of Revelation, Paul concludes by writing about the revelation of the mystery, and that God intended to put his word in a book. And so God was writing a book. We saw that in the Bible. The other terms that we want to study is scripture, canon, revelation, inspiration, illumination, and finally preservation, because preservation is how we ended up with our Bible. But you got to start out with the Bible before you can preserve it. So we studied Bible, and scripture is going to be really close to it, but we're going to start studying just this week, probably next week, how the Bible talks about itself as scripture. And while that's real close to talking about the Bible, that God wrote a book, it still is important to look at differently because the Bible refers to itself as scripture. I mean, when I say that, you probably already remember the verse that says, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But what scripture means, scripture is comes from the Greek word graphe. And not that I'm trying to teach you Greek, but as soon as you hear graphe, you get an idea what that word means because that's graphic. And so it's something you can see, but it's something you see as written on a page. And what scripture is, scripture, the proper word for it, we would say, is writings or writing. Scripture is not the spoken word of God. Scripture is the written word of God, God's word in written form. And as I think Pastor Jordan says so often, God's word written on a page in a book. But scripture refers to, and it's important to get that distinction, it's not just the word of God, scripture, because the word of God could be spoken, and then we know Moses wrote a book, but when he wrote the book is now scripture, the written word of God. And I had you just turn to Matthew just to kind of get started with that, because there's some phrases in Matthew chapter 2, and this is where Herod's trying to figure out where Christ is going to be born. And so he says in verse 4, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written." See, that there's scripture there. It is written. And so when it talks about it is written, that's a reference to the scriptures. And then chapter 4 of Matthew, you're going to see this over and over again. We'll refer to it again later. But Satan is going to tempt Christ. In verse 3 it says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered him and said, It is written, Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." When it says it is written, that's scripture, the written word of God. Now, the phrase, there's a phrase, now I think it said it is written in both cases, but there's a phrase, as it is written. I think it is written is 74 times in scripture. But the phrase, if you think about it, and you have to spend a little bit of time thinking because then you start understanding the importance. There's a phrase, as it is written. You'll go through, and whether it's in Matthew and refer back to the prophets and Jesus Christ did something, and it'll say, as it is written. Or you'll even read in the Old Testament, as it is written. And that's 34 times. But if you think about that, when someone says something and then says, as it is written, there's a sense in which they're authenticating, not just authenticating, let's start out with the word the authority. As it is written, it's referencing something that becomes the authority. And they're going to do this as it is written because what is written is the authority. So that phrase is really important. That's why when you talk about Scripture, Scripture is the written word of God, and it is the authority when you just think of how that's expressed. Let me show you. The first time it's found is Joshua chapter 8. Now, as everyone's turning to Joshua chapter 8, isn't it strange, as it is written, is not found until you come to the book of Joshua. Anyone have any thought of why that is? Exactly. Oh, you guys are smart. If Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, no one can say as it is written till Moses wrote that. But soon as Moses wrote the first five books, then Joshua can come along and do things according to that. Joshua chapter 8 and verse 30, it says, "And Joshua built an altar unto the Lord, God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children," "as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stone, over which no man," by the way, this is a reference, we're going to do it from Exodus, where he's quoting this, is something we'll talk about in the next hour. It's amazing how Sunday school and 11 o'clock are going to come together on these issues here. But when he says, "As it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stone over which no man hath lifted up any iron, and they offered thereupon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings." In other words, they weren't allowed to hew any stone according to the book of Exodus when they built an altar to sacrifice unto the Lord. And so he did it according to what Moses said, but as Moses had written, or as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. So when he says he did it as it is written, well, that is certainly the authority. He did. Why would he do it? Why does he have a right? Why did he do it the way that he did it? As it is written, because that's the authority. That's what tells him what to do. It's also it shows accuracy of God's will. You kind of put that together, because when it talked about how to do it there, it's not just that God said to do it and the authority tells you to do it, but also tells you how to do it. And if you do it exactly like the Bible says to do it, then you're doing the Lord's will. So when you say that phrase, as it is written, it actually is accuracy of God's will. How do you know that you fulfill the will of God in your life? Well, only if you can go to a verse and say, as it is written. Because then you know if God said it and then you do it, you've done the will of God. The will of God is not just made up in your head. The accuracy that you're doing the will of God is based on the fact that you can find a verse of Scripture that says it. You know, it just comes to my head to say this to you. One of the things that I try to do with young people or young believers, if someone gets saved, they can hear the gospel from you and believe it. But they're really believing your words, aren't they? And that's a little scary to me, because they have to believe what God said. So I try to take a young believer and tell them, find a Bible verse, and I'll give them Ephesians 2, 8, 9, or you can go to the Romans chapter 3, 6, and 5, and show them the Romans road. And then look at those verses and believe those verses, not just what I say to you. Because now they might believe the gospel because you said it, and they can get saved believing the gospel based on what you said, but they need to make sure that it's God's word so they're believing God's word, because the accuracy comes from God's word. So anyhow, as it is written, not only is authority, but it's accuracy because God wrote it. And in fact, when I said accuracy, come to Matthew chapter 26. That's just in that thought. You know, sometimes you just read a thought and don't realize what's behind that, a phrase. Now, this is kind of interesting. This is where, not kind of, it is. This is where Judas is going to betray the Lord, and the Lord is forecasting that, telling it ahead of time. And it says in verse 21, it says, "And as he did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him." Now, what is written is accurate. Jesus Christ is going to be betrayed because it's written of him, and because the scripture is accurate. Eventually, we'll look at that verse in John 10 that says the scriptures cannot be broken. So that talks about accuracy. So the Lord is emphasizing not just that it's written, but he's going to die because it is written. It is going to happen. But not only that, the next part of that verse, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Judas didn't have to do it. Jesus Christ had to be betrayed, but didn't have to be Judas. Now, Judas ended up being that man, so he ended up fulfilling that verse. But see, Judas had some free will in the matter. God didn't make Judas do it. But God did say his son would be betrayed. If Judas didn't betray him, someone else would have betrayed him. And so that's why the point is, the Son of Man will be betrayed as it is written, but woe unto that man that doth it. See, he's not a robot that has to do it, but woe unto him that does it. The scripture has to be fulfilled, but anyhow, Judas is responsible for his own action. You see that in that verse, but that's the point of... So anyhow, as it is written, when you look at the expression and think about it, it shows the authority of Scripture, it shows the accuracy of Scripture or God's will, and then it shows the authenticity of Scripture in the sense that it is the Word of God. For instance, when you look at a phrase like this or all the different places that is, if something happens as it is written, then not only was that the authority and not only was it accurate, but it was accurate because it shows it was the Word of God. God doesn't err. And it shows the authenticity that the Bible is indeed the Word of God because it's never wrong. That's the idea there. It when you look at the scriptures, and like this one is a good example of it, that it shows that the scripture is indeed the Word of God. Because it identifies, and if you look at the as it is written or it is written phrases, it'll identify events, it'll identify times, it'll identify places, it'll identify persons. So, I mean, if it does, if everything happens and what the Bible written as it is written, there's times that are, prophecies that are written. There's people that the scriptures have written about. There's timing as you go into the book of Daniel. And all this is happening as it is written, which shows the Word of God, that shows the authenticity that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. And then if it shows the authenticity and identifies all these events, above all, it identifies the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, the Messiah, the one that we can trust in, because he came and fulfilled everything that was written of him, so it shows authenticity. So that phrase itself, you begin to talk about scripture, you start getting confident that if God put his word in writing and everything happens as God said it would, then what God wrote is our authority, it's accurate, so don't correct it, and its authenticity is God. If you dare correct it, you're correcting God. So when you start realizing God wrote Scripture, his word written on a page, boy, you better think twice before you start playing around with it and changing it, because just that phrase means that. Now, what's interesting, we're studying the word Scripture. Scripture is only found one time in the Old Testament. It's found, the 31 times in the New Testament, so one time in the Old Testament, or 33 and one, whatever those numbers were. We'll look at that one in the Old Testament in just a minute. But the reason why is the Old Testament, like graphe would be a Greek word, and so we get scripture. But there is still an expression of it in the Old Testament. The word scripture is found once, but it's also mostly found the word written. And that's what we're saying. That's what the meaning of scripture is, the written word of God. And so Joshua, after Moses wrote it, can say as it is written, because that's a reference to scripture. Now, interestingly, the first occurrence of the word written, come to Exodus 24. Now, Moses had to write it before Joshua could say, as it is written, but here's the word written before that. In Exodus chapter 24, if you look at verse 1, you'll understand the connect where this is at. It says, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone came near unto the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. So Moses, see, the Lord appeared, he told him, get ready, in Exodus chapter 19. He appeared as a smoke and a burning fire on top of Mount Sinai in chapter 20 and began to speak to the nation of Israel. Then he calls Moses up to come up, and what it is there Moses comes and talks to God, and God says, go tell these words to the people, and if they agree, I'll make a covenant with them. And so Moses comes down, the people agree, yes, everything God said we will do. And then Moses goes up to get the rest of the covenant. Okay, God, give me the covenant. The people said they'll go in contract with you. They'll sign the contract. Now give me the contract. So verse 9, it says, and Moses went up, and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of the children of Israel, and saw the Lord God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were a body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not hand. Also they saw God, and he did eat and drink. And God said unto the children unto Moses, come up unto me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and so he goes up there. A lot of interesting things there, how that's what's transpiring, what they saw, what the nobles saw, what Moses gets to see beyond them. But when Moses goes beyond them to the Lord, look at that verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written. They're already written. Now you might recall the second time Moses, now he's going to come down and break these because they're going to break God's laws. And the second time, you read it in Deuteronomy 10, Moses has to hew out two tables of stone, carry them up to the mount, and then God will write it. Now, I shouldn't stop reading here. Well, the point is that when Moses was told to come up the mount, God said he's already written it. And I'm looking at that thinking, well, when did God already write it? Because I know what Moses is going to carry down, tables of stone, written by the finger of God. We're going to look at those verses in a minute. But when did God write it? He wrote it before Moses went up there. There's two possibilities. He either already wrote it before Exodus chapter 20. Look at Exodus 20. See, he's appearing to them. He's already showing his presence on the top of Mount Sinai. And the people are scared, and they know, don't even come close to that mountain. And then from that mountain, God begins to speak, and it says in verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying. Now, that's speaking the word. Remember, Scripture is not spoken. Scripture is written. So either, you know, you always see the, you know, God says a commandment, and, you know, the movie, the Hollywood movie, all of a sudden you see this lightning, and it's being carved into the stone as he speaks. Well, someone figured that must have been when it got written. And maybe as he spoke, it was written on that rock, or it was already on that rock and God's reading the scriptures. His written word of God that Moses is going to carry down. When Moses carries, but the point is, it's already written. And when you start carrying that thought, there's a whole bunch of things that start flooding my mind. Come over before we leave Exodus, chapter 31. I would really tell you, you need to understand verses 12 through 17 of chapter 31, so that there's some confusion. It's like going back, it's coming around again where Bible believers are trying to figure out what to do with the Sabbath day. as if it belongs somewhere in the age of grace. And whether that's the influence of the Seventh-day Adventist, you read those verses, you'll find out that the Sabbath is the one part of the law that Paul never quotes to us as something we should keep. And then you read this section, you'll understand why. The Sabbath is the sign of this covenant between God and Israel. And it says so clearly, verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Sabbath had no place in the age of grace. So anyhow, learn that. But our point is to get to verse 18. It says in verse 18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. You talk about original autograph, huh? Can you imagine? Would you dare? When it says written with the finger of God, would you dare correct anything? And God wanted them to have scripture, accurate scripture, authoritative scripture. He wrote it with his own finger. By the way, another time I'll show this to you. But there's other places where the Bible talks about the finger of God, and it's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And you might remember all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Don't think just this is the only thing written with the finger of God. This whole Bible is written with the finger of God. But that's another way of expressing that. But the point is you can see that it's saying that, like, they ought to reverence this. This is God's written word. You know, when you say written word, a written word, like back in chapter 20, it says God spake. That's past tense, isn't it? But you know, when it is written, that's present tense, isn't it? See, God only spake one time, but what is written lasts forever and is always present. That's why God gave us scripture. We don't just say, well, God had said. No, we say God says. Because the scripture is the living word of God, always present. And there's a big difference between spake and present. And one is only one time, and the other one is all time. It's always there. One time we were having a business meeting, and we were trying to rewrite part of our Constitution. And I remember it was Mary Bersicker. She did transcribing work or something. And we were talking about what's the best way to say it, because we were referring to the Bible and we were using past tense, and it didn't sound right to do that. And she said, oh no, anytime you talk about, she didn't just say the Bible, but she said written literature, it's always present tense. And she knew the proper way of referring to something written. And it was nice to have her in the meeting that time to get that clear, because as soon as she said it, oh yeah, that makes sense. Well, you can understand the importance of Scripture of being something that's always here and present. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 15. Is it? Yeah. It says, and Moses turned and went down from the mount. Now, this is where he's going to find them worshiping a golden calf, already breaking the first and second law that's written on these stones. So he's going to break the stones, and then God's going to call him back up and re-give it to him. But verse 15, it says, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of testimony were in his hand, and the table were written on both their sides, the one on one side and the other, and on the other they were written. You know, you never see that in the movies, do you? It's always on one side. It's written on both sides. It says, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God given upon the tables. Graven. Oh, graven, okay. But the writing was the writing of God. That's Scripture. That's the Old Testament reference to Scripture and the authoritativeness of Scripture. The Bible is our authority. God intended to write a book, and when he wrote a book, he gave us Scripture, the written word of God, and it becomes the authority. Now, I'll go off on a tangent a little bit. That where it says back there, Moses, come out, and I'll give you the law that I have written, and I'm thinking it was written ahead of time. Come to Psalms 119. There's verses that I know that refer to the Bible and that we use them, and I know other preachers probably understand them better than I do. I just know that they say something really important, but the whole gist of what they're saying sometimes gets past me. You'll see what I mean. Psalms 119 and verse 8. Now this, you can talk all about the Bible. It's just the chapter past the center of the Bible, and it's all about the Bible. Psalms 119 verse 8 says, wait a minute. Did I write that wrong? Is it verse 18? Where is it? In my writing. Where's the settled in heaven verse? It's right here.
Verse 89.
89. There's no comma between 8 and 9. Okay. Psalms 119, verse 89. There it is. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now you can see that that is like profound, right? But what in the world does it mean? Well, you get the forever part. I mean, you know that the time is there. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Settled. Well, settled, there's several different meanings that the word settled can have. It can mean established or set there. When it's settled, just like I said, as it is written, now it's set, that settles the matter in that sense. It's established, it's settled, it's set. The law, set in stone, that's how we say it. So when it refers to the scripture there, "Forever thy word is settled in heaven." Well, the reason I bring that verse to up at this point is the Lord told Moses, "Come up and I'll give you the law, the commandments that I have written." Before Moses wrote it, that Joshua can say, "As it is written in the law of Moses," God already wrote it. And where was it written? It was in heaven. Look at Psalms 119. Psalms 19.
That was the middle verse. 89 is the middle verse.
The middle verse of the Bible?
Settled.
No, I thought 118 is the middle. I'm not sure that is. I think I could have given you wrong information at one time because I used to say that and someone corrected me. You're quoting me. Dangerous. Psalms 19. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." So, not only does the heavens show God's handiwork, they say something. They declare knowledge. Verse 3. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. The stars are seen all the way around the world. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set the tabernacle of the sun, which as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He goeth forth from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Then it starts saying, "The law of the Lord is perfect," and now you start going through the law. There, that beginning, those first six verses of Psalms 119, teach me that Psalms 19, teach me that God's word is written in the stars. That back when you go through the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, and when they built that tower whose top might reach unto heaven, what they did is they perverted the word of God. So that today when people get into the zodiac and the signs of the zodiac, that's all the perverted word of God, the Greek mythology that got mixed in with the truth that used to be there. What's fascinating is when you start studying that the zodiac actually begins with Virgo, a woman holding a baby, and the baby's holding a wheat, stalk of wheat. Life, bread of life. Mary, the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin, holding a baby. It ends with Leo, the lion, Jesus Christ, coming back to establish his kingdom. Now, there was a time in which the truth was written there and God's speech and knowledge was there. But the Gentiles perverted God's word. When you read Romans chapter 3, when Paul talks about Israel failing, he said, "What advantage hath the Jew?" He said, "Much in every way, chiefly because of them were committed the oracles of God." He didn't say the writings of God. Why? Because God's speech used to be written there, and when man perverted it, God began to speak to the nation of Israel. And God spoke, and he used the nation of Israel not just to speak, but they began to write down God's word, and we got God's written word because of God singling out the nation of Israel and giving us his word. And we've already seen the purpose of the written word is to preserve God's knowledge, because if it was just orally given, man's going to pervert it. But God spoke it to the nation of Israel, and then Moses is told to write it, Joshua told to write it, everyone told to write it who was supposed to write it, and we end up with God's written word through the nation of Israel. And so you begin to realize it was there. You know, there was one bell already. This, the last one, is the most important. Was there one bell or two? Daniel 10. Daniel 10. A scripture is really important to God. You begin to see this. God's word written on a page, not just spoken. Daniel here has a vision. He's sick over the fact he don't understand it. The angel Gabriel, if it's Gabriel who showed up, but the angel shows up and explains to him, "I've been trying to come for 21 days, but I was hindered." So someone hindered an angel. And then finally the angel tells Daniel the interpretation of the dream. And when he's all done, verse 21 says this, Daniel 10:21. "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there was none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince." This angel says, "Daniel, I'm going to show you what's written." Now, written in the scripture of truth. See the authority and accuracy of scripture? But what Daniel wrote down in Daniel 10 was already written down before Daniel wrote it down in Daniel 10, because his angel showed it to him. It was written down in heaven. His word is settled in heaven in written form. Before Moses wrote, God wrote it in the finger with his finger on those stones and gave it to Moses, it was already written in heaven. Before this angel, before Daniel got this vision, this is all written in heaven. And then now it's revealed to Daniel, and Daniel writes it down, and now it's on earth. God's written word, it's settled in heaven prior to ever been written down on earth. And if that's true, you just have to leave you with this thought. Think about Ephesians chapter 3, especially verses 9 and 10, where the Apostle Paul talks about the revelation given to him is unsearchable because it was hid in God before the foundation of the world. That means the scriptures that were written in heaven, God hid even from the angels and from those scriptures what was revealed to Paul. And what's true in the age of grace, when Paul wrote it down on earth, it got written down in heaven. In the prophetic program, it was written down in heaven and then got written down in earth. But all of it, the fact that it got written down because it's authoritative, it's accurate, and what's the three? And authenticity shows that it is of God, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for using words that we use all the time, but when we start and think about what phrases mean and what they declare to us, we show how important this Bible is and how it's older than us. It's older than certainly Moses. And Father, that you wrote a word and revealed your word, and we have it in written form, and it is our authority. Help us to study it. Help us to live it accurately, the part that's written to us, that we might honor you and rejoice in the truths that you've given us. In Christ's name, we pray.